Thank you, Dr. Reddy. Good morning, everyone. My name is James Burke. I'm a graduate research assistant at the University of Arkansas at Fayetteville. And before I begin this presentation, I'd like to acknowledge two of the people that helped me out with this research, Dr. David Longer and Dr. Derek Oosterhaus, both of whom are affiliated with the University of Arkansas. I'd like to begin with an outline of my presentation. I will begin with an introduction and a justification of my research. From there, I'll move to an objective and my hypothesis. From there, I will delve into the materials and methods of this research, and from there, I will present the results of this research, and then I will give a summary of those results, and I will conclude with a concluding section. As most of us know, cotton requires a significant amount of nitrogen in order to ensure proper growth and development. In Arkansas, these nitrogen rates can be recommended as high as 110 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. Historically, the most common fertilization technique is a split application of soil-applied nitrogen. Usually the first split is applied around planting, and the remainder is applied before the onset of flowering. However, unlike as with a lot of fertilizers, many concerns arise from this type of fertilization method, such as nutrient groundwater leaching and surface runoff, large fossil fuel consumption used in fertilizer manufacturing, and the ever-increasing expense of these fertilizers to producers. Biochar, the product I'm working with in this study, is basically the carbon and nutrient-rich charcoal product resulting from the pyrolysis of biomass materials. Pyrolysis is a term where you combust biomass resources in supervised atmospheres of low oxygen. Biochars can be derived from various biomass sources such as hardwood trees, crop residues, and of particular interest to Northwest Arkansas, poultry litter. Biochars can increase soil fertility, have the ability to enhance water retainment in the soil, and can increase plant growth and yield. Therefore, biochar is viewed as a sustainable fertilization source that can alleviate and remedy problems associated with soil-incorporated nitrogen fertilization. The objective of this study was to evaluate the effects of a poultry litter-based biochar used alone or in conjunction with urea on field-grown cotton. The hypothesis was that increases in cotton boll and seed numbers, along with lint weight, could be attained with sole applications of a poultry litter-based biochar. Field experiments were conducted in 2011 and 2012 at the University of Arkansas Research and Extension Station in Fayetteville, Arkansas. The cotton cultivar used in both years was Stoneville 5288. Treatments were applied in two-row plots. Each plot encompassed an area of 5.5 square meters, and there were 18 total plots in this experiment. Irrigation was performed as needed. The experimental design was a randomized complete block design consisting of 6 treatments and 3 replications analyzed in a full factorial arrangement. The experimental factors were 3 rates of biochar equivalent to 0, a rate equivalent to 2,000 kilograms per hectare, and the highest rate of biochar equivalent to 4,000 kilograms per hectare. 2 rates of urea were used that were equivalent to 0, and a urea rate equivalent to 26.7 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. Urea was applied at the cotton growth stages of pinhead square and first flower. Data was analyzed by using Jump Pro 10 statistical software using a student's t-test at the alpha level 0.05. As a result of these experiments occurring in 2011 and 2012, I will analyze each year separately, and I will combine the results in the summary and concluding sections. As you see here, the ANOVA table for 2011, we have here the main effects of biochar, fertilizer, and a potential interaction of biochar and fertilizer. As you can see by the ANOVA table, only the main effect of biochar was deemed significant for the yield parameters of boll number, seed number, and lint weight. As a result, I will address these yield parameters in terms of only the main effect of biochar. For boll number in 2011, on the x-axis, you see your respective biochar treatments, C0, no biochar, C1, 2,000 kilogram of biochar, and C2, 4,000 kilogram rate. On the y-axis is boll number per 2 meters. Boll numbers were obtained by harvesting a 2-meter length of one row out of every two-row plot. The numbers above the bars are the bowl number means for each respective biochar treatment. As you can see, biochar treatment C1, the 2,000 kilogram rate equivalent, was statistically greater than the highest rate of biochar, C2. In turn, that was significantly greater than the no biochar control. For seed number, again, the x-axis, we have our biochar treatments. On the y-axis, we have our seed number per two-meter length of row. Seed numbers were obtained by taking the harvested bowls, separating the lint and seeds in a microgen, and then running the seeds through an acid treatment with sulfuric acid in order to obtain seed numbers. Again, the numbers on top of the bars are seed number means for each respective biochar treatment. As we can see here, again, biochar treatment C1, the 2,000 kilogram rate equivalent, is significantly greater than the highest rate of biochar, C2, and the no biochar control. For lint weight, again, we have our biochar treatments on the x-axis, and lint weight in grams per that 2-meter length of row on the y-axis. Again, the numbers on top of the bars are the lint weight means for each respective biochar treatment. We can see here biochar treatment C1 is significantly greater than biochar treatment C2, the highest rate of biochar, which is in turn greater than the control. For 2012, for the main effects of biochar, fertilizer, and a possible biochar-fertilizer interaction, the only factor of significance is the main effect of biochar, similar to 2011. For that reason, as previous, I will only discuss bowl number, seed number, and lint weight with regards to the main effect of biochar. For bowl number in 2012, again we have our biochar treatments on the x-axis and the bowl number per 2-meter length of row on the y-axis. Similar to 2011, biochar treatment C1, the 2,000 kilogram rate equivalent, is statistically greater than the highest rate of biochar in the control. But, however, different from 2011, the highest rate of biochar, C2, is significantly less than the control. This was not seen in 2011. Again, seed number in 2012, biochar treatment C1, the 2,000 kilogram rate equivalent, is statistically greater than the control and the highest rate of biochar, C2. Although they are not statistically different, biochar treatment C2, the 4,000 kilogram rate equivalent, is numerically lower in seed numbers than the control. For lint weight, we have the same scenario. Biochar treatment C1, the 2,000 kilogram rate equivalent, is statistically greater than the control and the highest rate of biochar. And again, it's similar to seed number. The control is numerically higher in seed and lint weight than the highest rate of biochar, C2. Now, just what can we draw from these results? Well, over both years, only the main effect of biochar was the only significant factor in both years of this experiment. The 2,000 kilogram per hectare biochar rate equivalent was statistically greater in bowl and seed numbers and lint weight in both years of this trial. However, the rate of fertilizer and the biochar fertilizer interaction were deemed insignificant and were not observed for bowl and seed numbers and lint weight for both years of this trial. Now, just why did we see these results? Specifically, why did the highest rate of biochar depress a lot of these yield parameters? Well, the positive response of the 2,000 kilogram biochar rate equivalent may be due to the test site being maintained below optimum fertility levels. This trial was conducted on a university research farm, and very rarely are these fields kept above optimum nutritional conditions for obvious research purposes. Also, the test site soil is considered highly weathered. The soils in our region of northwest Arkansas are mainly alfasols and ultasols, and they are considered highly weathered and nutrient poor. This poor nutrition and this highly weathered classification may have increased the possibility of this 2,000 kilogram rate to produce a positive response. Reductions in yield parameters concerning the 4,000 kilogram biochar rate equivalent may be due to heightened carbon and nitrogen ratios. The carbon and nitrogen ratio of this biochar was 10 to 1. However, when you add a significant amount of this into a system, you increase these ratios, which may lead to a promotion of nitrogen immobilization in the soil. This may have occurred in 2012, as we saw the highest rate of biochar being significantly different in bole number, but numerically different in other yield parameters. Now, what can we draw for future research? Analysis of field-applied biochar rates in both years display positive trends in enhancing growth and development parameters of field-grown cotton. Additional research is concerned about the effects of poultry litter-based biochars on varying soil types, such as mollisols or other soils of the United States, and different aspects of agricultural production. We chose cotton in this trial because cotton requires a lot of nutrients, like I said before, to ensure proper growth and development. What we need to learn is, what does effective biochar have on crops such as corn, soybeans, crops of that nature? Research is also needed involving the rate of nutrient release associated with poultry litter-based biochars in order to maximize efficient plant uptake. This part of the research is crucial right here. And I would like to give some acknowledgments for this study. The biochar for these 2 years were provided by Bioenergy Systems in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I would also like to thank the University of Arkansas Research and Extension Station staff in Fayetteville, Arkansas, for help with field maintenance and irrigation. And finally, I would like to thank the Cotton Physiology Group, of which I am now a member of, affiliated with the University of Arkansas in the Department of Crop, Soil, and Environmental Sciences. And some selected references, and I will be happy to take any questions.
We have time for several questions.
Yes.
You suggested that maybe the lack of a response or the decrease with the higher rate of biochar was due to immobilization.
Yes.
Why would you not have seen an interaction there with the higher rate of where you use the nitrogen, the urea?
The amount of urea we used in this trial was considerably lower than what is recommended for cotton. It could be the result of that lower amount, zero, and that amount equivalent to 26.7 kilograms per nitrogen per hectare. That lower amount may have caused the lack of interaction. Yes.
You may have said this earlier.
Yes, it did. We ran a pretty extensive analysis. We ran nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and I think we went on down the line to zinc. But I just focused on nitrogen right here in this study. I could have displayed the results, but it would have taken up a considerable amount of slides. But yes, we did run other analysis. The pH of the biochar was 10.2, and like I said, the carbon to nitrogen ratio was 10 to 1. It was 3%. Yes.
You choose to present your data on a 2 meter square meter basis and a little bit of a non-conventional way. Why did you choose that instead of an acre basis?
When we started this trial, we only had a certain amount of biochar that we could work with. The total plot area was very small compared to a lot of research that we've been hearing today. Basically, the bottom line is we couldn't obtain a whole lot of biochar to make a big field study. Is that?
But you still can present data on a per acre basis so that the numbers can. People can relate to the other studies.
That's true.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin.